May I borrow your... I have a little prop here I've asked him if I could borrow for a moment. Does anybody know what this is? You know, I bet there are a few people here today that frequent Starbucks. I knew I'd find a cup here today. Somebody must have it. You know, and maybe you even stop by a Starbucks like Adam did on his way here to the church this morning. Starbucks has become more than just a supplier of caffeine for us. They've actually become, for some of us, a daily routine. So I'll give you your coffee back. Thank you. But Starbucks, one time, several years ago, had a card that promoted job opportunities in their store. And the card was titled, Create Community, Make a Difference in Someone's Day. Create Community, Make a Difference in Someone's Day. Interesting. Starbucks in the business of creating community. On the back side of that card, it said, when you work at Starbucks, you can make a difference in someone's day by creating an environment where neighbors and friends can get together and reconnect while enjoying a great coffee experience. Isn't that interesting? Starbucks sees itself in the business of more than just serving a cup of coffee. Yeah, Starbucks, part of their corporate purpose, they feel, is to create environments that connect people in such meaningful ways that the quality of their life changes. Sound familiar? Is that something we do here at Unity of Bellevue? Is creating communities, different opportunities for you to connect with people so that the quality of your life is changed? Could be our mission statement, right? It could very well, because that's what we do here at Unity of Bellevue. You see, Starbucks, what Starbucks is selling is the Starbucks experience. And they do it by selling a cup of coffee. They promote connection by selling coffee. And that's a good thing. It's a great thing. Because what they know is that we are a culture that craves relationship. We crave it. And yet it's very interesting, I find, that even though we crave relationship, we've got architects out there who intentionally create homes that promote seclusion and privacy. Not connection. Go figure. You know, I grew up in a very small town just a little north of New York City. And I don't know about you, but I remember when life was simpler. I remember when there was no commute. Now, I know for some of you, you can't fathom that. But there was a day when you didn't have to commute a lot and you didn't get stuck in commuter traffic. I remember in this little town walking to school. I remember, you know, walking downtown. We walked to church. We walked to the bakery. On the front of our house, along the entire front, was a huge, big front porch. You remember those days? And when you went walking in the evening, because there were chairs and tables and rocking chairs, and when you went walking in the evening, you took your evening stroll at night. You passed by all these front porches, and your neighbor was out there sitting on a front porch. And before long, one thing led to another, and you were sitting on a neighbor's front porch, chatting and having a cold beverage. You know, people actually took time for each other. Imagine that. You know, like community life was fostered. I don't know about you, but I don't really know my neighbors. You know, of course, when Bill and I first moved here, they were very nice, very kind. Every time we went in and out of the garage or out to the mailbox, they would come over and say, oh, you're new here. Welcome to the neighborhood. Told us their name. Well, I haven't seen them since. I don't remember their name. You know, I don't have a large front porch that I sit out on so I can chat with my neighbors. Unfortunate. And there were days when we had a dog. I loved having dogs because I could walk them and I could meet my neighbors. Now, I didn't really meet them. I met their animals. And I know, oh, you're Bailey's mom, you know. But community life was fostered. And we've kind of lost a bit of that, haven't we? Because in today's world, what happens is that we rush home from a hectic day at work and we shut the door. And rather than going to the openness of the outside of our front porch, we go inside to the TV in the living room. And what was used to being our front porch is now the deck in the back of the house. And so we've lost that connection with people. We've lost that idea of community. You know, we want to, you know, after, and the harsh truth is that after a long, hard day at work, you know, and possibly, you know, perhaps, you know, stuck in a lot of commuter traffic, we don't want to see people anymore, right? You know, we go home and we want to just avoid people at all costs, and cost us it does. Cost us big time, because the avoidance has a huge price tag on it. Huge price tag. Gallup, George Gallup of the Gallup polls, he said, Americans are among the loneliest people in the world. Isn't that sad? Americans are among the loneliest people in the world. In the midst of our busy lives, in our overcommitted schedules, in our congested cities, we feel alone. We're surrounded by all these people. But the real truth is, we don't really know any of them. And they don't really know us. They don't know what we're feeling. They don't know what we're going through. And so we feel alone. We feel like we're doing life alone, even in the midst of all these crowds. I don't know if I'm hitting a chord with anyone. I don't know if you're feeling the same, but I feel, you know, that there's just an incredible loneliness. And this is not what God had intended for us had in mind for us when He created us. You know, when God created us in Genesis, it talks about the creation, this creative bonanza that God went on. And He created, in the very first chapter of Genesis, every time He created something, He would say, God would say, and God said it was very good. It was very good. From the lives, you know, from the light to the earth to the stars to the livestock, God was extremely pleased. It was good. It was good. And then on the sixth day, humankind came into the picture, came on the scene. And God was so excited about this latest creation that everything up to then was no longer just good. It was very good. Very good. In fact, God said, God looked over everything He had made. It was so good, so very good. And then all of a sudden, the unexpected happens. In Genesis chapter 2, very beginning, it says, God didn't think it was so good. God says, you know, there's something missing. You know, man is not meant to be alone. And so we assume that this means, you know, that they're talking about marriage. I don't think so. I think what is presumed here is that we're meant to be in relationship. I think it goes beyond marriage. It's talking about human beings connecting to other human beings. Because what we have is a relational God, you know, in relational, exceptional connections with people. But it's a relational is a relationship of connecting one to another. And so when we don't have meaningful relationships, four things happen. The first thing that happens when we don't have meaningful relationships is there's a loss in perspective on life. When we live in isolation, we can easily lose our perception of life. What's going on? Our viewpoint is closed. It's clouded. Things seem worse than they are. A simple decision can seem bigger than life. You know, we don't have anybody pointing us to the truth, and we don't have anyone else who is helping us see life in a different way. So we can very easily lose perspective on life. Second thing, when we don't have meaningful connections in our life, the second thing we experience is fear of intimacy. Because if you've never had a meaningful friendship of this kind, you're going to tend to be more fearful of that kind of relationship, and you will tend to fear intimacy, which is not a real good thing if you're stepping into a marriage or into a committed relationship. When we don't have committed meaningful connections in our life, we experience the third thing, which is selfishness. When we're not connecting, disconnected people tend to be selfish and self-absorbed. They see life through very narrow lenses. And the fourth thing that we experience when we don't have those meaningful connections is poor health. Research actually says people who live life alone, not live alone, but if you live your life alone, not connecting meaningful connections with people, you are at greater risk of sickness and poor health than those who are connected. And so living life alone is not good for you. It's not the way we're meant to live. God made us with a hungering for relationships, relationship with God, relationship with each other. And these relationships are what brings us into authentic community. So why am I spending so much time talking about this? I think the church has been called to a specific purpose. And that purpose, I believe, is creating environments where authentic community can take place in the context of a spiritual setting. And I think that's why we come together at Unity of Bellevue, is we're creating environments where authentic community can take place in the context of a spiritual setting. And that's why I encourage all of you to get involved, to do something here at the church. Get involved. And yes, it involves service, but it's so much more. It allows you to have meaningful connections with people in community. I mean, your ushers, your greeters, your choir. Your choir is a great community. You know, your prayer chaplains, they're really close. You know, the Going Green team at Unity. The couples group, we're having some very meaningful relationships created in that group. And dances is a great way. Tim, I know, keeps saying, we've got to do some more social stuff. You know, dances, food, eating together, movie nights, they're all connecting people. You know, even our Crossroads meal program at the Salvation Army, a group of people comes in on the last Thursday of the month, they cook food, and then take it down, and other people join them to serve at the Salvation Army. Our youth ministry, being with our kids on Sunday morning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many groups. That's why there's so many groups at the church. So you can find something to get involved with to build meaningful relationships. And we're really excited that this fall there's yet another opportunity for you to get connected, and that's through our small group ministry. And I want to spend the rest of our time together talking a little bit about this ministry, because it's an exciting one to be. Bill and I have been doing small groups in churches since 1997, wherever we've served, because we see how important it is. And I just want to talk about how important these groups, which the small group leadership team has come up with the name Spiritual Connection. Isn't that great? I love that. Why these spiritual connection groups are so important to Unity of Bellevue. Because, you see, we need more than just casual relationships. And so here at Unity of Bellevue, we want to create this environment where you can build meaningful relationships and you can really experience your oneness with God and your oneness with each other. And and not just in a casual way, but really in being a part of a small group in community. And we want to create an opportunity for you to experience authentic community where hearts are opened and lives are transformed. You know, so that you can experience meaning. Your experiences can be very meaningful and fulfilling. So this fall, we're going to invite you to join our fall program that's beginning the end of September, on September 25th. We have an 8-week fall program that's beginning, and it's called Surviving, Not Just Thriving, Not Just Surviving. Thriving, not just surviving. And it's based on Eric Butterworth's book, Spiritual Economics, which is a great topic for the times that we're in today. Let's look at it in a new and different way. Let's thrive and not just kind of get by. And so I'm going to be speaking on a theme from the book each week starting September 25th, and then you're invited to join a small group. And there'll be groups all over the place, different days of the week, different times, to join a small group so you can discuss the lesson and the questions that will be provided for you in a study guide. The kids are even going to participate. They have their own program back in the youth ministry so that families can do this whole program together. We'll be studying together and we'll be praying together. There'll be a trained facilitator in each group as well as a host or hostess opening their home for you. So, you know, we're going to make it as easy as possible for you to get into community and little small groups and really deepen. Our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey and to really allow you to have those meaningful connections. And the idea of these spiritual connection groups is to minister to one another. That's what they really are for. And the phrase that we use, and I love this, is turbocharge your spiritual growth. And that's what they'll do, turbocharge your spiritual growth. And I would do just about anything legal to encourage you and invite you to join a spiritual connection group. Sign-ups will begin in just a few weeks. But these groups have the potential to impact more people and touch more people with this unity message than anything else we do here. Listen to their mission statement. I love this. The small group ministry at Unity of Bellevue enhances lives through meaningful connections for spiritual discovery and growth. Don't you love that? Small group ministry at Unity of Bellevue enhances lives through meaningful connections for spiritual discovery and growth. These spiritual connection groups are not therapy groups. They're not support groups. They're not teacher-driven. What they do is they provide you with three things. They provide a predictable environment, because every week you're going to go to the same small group, the same people are going to be there. You'll be able to build relationships and build trust. Second thing they'll provide is a safe environment. Because since you know everybody and you have this intimate knowing of each other, you will then be able to say, my partner, my wife and I are struggling. The kids are driving me crazy. I'm afraid. You'll be able to feel safe to say that in a group of people that you have come to know. The third thing is it's a temporary environment. It's not going to go on forever and ever and ever, unless you want it to. You'll get to decide at the end of the 8 weeks. But it's for 8 weeks. So, you can kind of carve that out in your schedule. It's also a great way for you to invite a friend to Unity of Bellevue. Maybe they won't come to church with you, but maybe they'll come to a small group that you host in your home. If you opened your home up, you could say to a couple of friends, hey, come on, we're studying a great book. Be a part of this. Three things happen as a result of being in a spiritual connection group. The first thing is there's this sense of belonging. The second thing is there's a sense of caring. And the third thing is there's a knowing that there's a group of people that are praying for you, that are holding the highest and the best for you. To me, that's the most important part of these groups. Is you got a group of people for 8 weeks who are supporting you in prayer. And just, it'll be such a blessing in your life. And the truth is, if there's a crisis, if you don't have meaningful connections with a group of people, it's often too late. And the one thing I love about the small groups is that it provides an optimal environment for care and compassion. So if you've got something going on in your life, if you have a problem with a child or, there's a death in your family, there's a tragedy of some sort, you're in the hospital, care happens within these small groups. And I love on Sundays, once small groups get going, I see people waiting and looking for their other people in their small group, and they sit together and they tell each other how their week is gone, and it just warms my heart. And as I said, Bill and I have been doing small groups since 1997 in any church we've served in. And here are just a couple of things that I saw was in Tallahassee, Florida, I got a call from this woman was in the hospital. And by the time I got to the hospital room, the small group was there, circled around the bed. They were already praying. their caring had already started before I ever got there. One time in Atlanta, Bill and I got a call that a member of the congregation lost her mother. We went to her home, and I walked in, and I looked at the table, and I said, "Where did all this food come from?" She said, "My small group was just here." In situations like this, you don't need a professional. You need a community. You need a community. So each and every one of you have something very special to share with another individual. You've got life experience. You've got lessons that you've learned along the path called life. You've got insight. You've got love to share. And it can all be done in the context of these spiritual connection groups. I'd like to end today with this beautiful reading. "Since before any of us were born, God planned for us to share our lives with each other. God knew exactly how our strengths and weaknesses would balance one another and the depth of love, understanding, and commitment that we would learn to feel. God knew the richness of our separate characters would be developed through the hard times and that mutual trust and respect would be born as a result of overcoming our trials together. God knew that we would laugh together and cry together. God knew we needed each other to hug, to help, to teach, to share, to love." And so please consider joining a spiritual connection group in the fall. The sign-ups will begin in just about 2 weeks. I think September, the first Sunday in September, they're going to be opened up for sign-ups. So join a spiritual connection group. And it's not too late to be a facilitator or to open your home up and host. There's special training required for both the facilitators and the hosts. And this afternoon, after the second service, there'll be one of those trainings. And you can come back. There's a light lunch will be served in the library. And then at 1 o'clock to about 3:30, there'll be the training. And if you can't make it today, there's also another opportunity. It will be repeated again on Monday, a week from tomorrow, Monday, August 29th, from 6 to 9, with a light dinner and the training going until 9 o'clock. So you have a wonderful opportunity to open your home and be blessed, to facilitate. Again, it's not teacher-driven. You're facilitating, and you'll be given all the tools that you need to do a fabulous job. So be a blessing to others and know that your life will be blessed in return. And let's be known as Unity of Bellevue, where groups are us. God bless.